From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things, or some things, Big Ten football. We're back. It's been a couple months.
Months.
That's
hiatus. A hard word to say.
Hiatus. We had a little hiatus.
Hiatus, not as hard. Months. Months. When you add the S in there, it's just too many consonants for our dumb English mouths to handle.
Yeah. But it's been a couple of those. Four fortnights or something. Since we've done a show. But we're back. We're live.
Hey.
Live on the YouTubes. We appreciate that. We are going to be across all the different podcasting platforms. As usual, you can email us if you want to get a hold of us. We got a lot of emails to get to because we haven't gone on air for a couple months. Big10cast, all spelled out, at gmail.com. You can call or text us. We have a voicemail from our buddy Perk from like 2 months ago.
Hey.
424-532-0678. You can tweet at us at B1G Podcast. We love the 5-star reviews. You can do it on Apple. I think you can do it on Spotify even now, which is great. What's going on with the have you had any reviews over the last couple months?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think these are old ones that we may have read before, but now you're asking me to access long-term storage in my memory, which is full of cobwebs and spiders. I don't like to go there. The last review is from April 26th, and it begins, "Goodbye. The POC used to be my favorite podcast back in the day. It seems like just a couple of months ago when Roger and Daniel recorded their last and final podcast. RIP POC, you will be missed." That was from Becton.
Yeah, that was before we did our last show. So we have a new one. So yeah, we probably won't do another show until we get a review. So you have to give us a 5-star review.
Has to be a 5-star review.
Otherwise, we won't do it. But we do have
right,
Super
baby.
Chat. Our buddy Matthew. Best podcast in the land. Thank
That's
you, Matthew.
So brave, so true. We were too good. That's why we stopped.
Maybe it was too good.
Once you've reached the peak, what do you do from there? You just look at what's below you. And we decided to just jump off.
So we're retiring like Barry Sanders just on top of our game.
Correct.
He says, POC is back. Mark says, Vegas is the heart of Big Ten country. And I think Bertrand says it's too much work. I think he's talking about too much work to leave his review. It's not too much work to leave a review. It's really easy. Do you have an iPhone? Just get on there, boom, and do it. We love it.
And as we've said in the past, it can just be copy and paste from classic works of fiction.
And David will try to read a lot of that.
Yeah, I will read it all in whatever voice you desire.
You can do the voice as well. We're going to be in Vegas next week, people.
That's right, baby.
Can you believe it?
I can.
That's what's exciting us to get excited.
Nature is healing. You know, we went a year without Vegas for media days, but you know, everything comes back west in the end. And media days are the latest things. Is it the Big Ten? Yeah, but we know where the heart is. It's right in Los Angeles, and they're coming closer.
Oh, Bertrand said it was not too much work. It's too much work for you to remember stuff, which is
that's a great point.
Yeah. Mark, we're going to talk about this, bought tickets for the Titanic struggle between UCLA and Northwestern to support my wife's Mighty Bruins. Mm. Awesome. Yeah, ticket time. I get questions about tickets a lot. I know a lot about what's going on in college football. I don't know much about tickets. We don't need tickets because we get press credentials. So when people ask me about ticket stuff, like, hey, when is this going on sale? Or what section is USC? And I'm like, I don't know any of that stuff. Do the people ask you that stuff too?
They do. And I don't know any of it. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff. People ask me, like, what to eat around the Rose Bowl? And I'll be like, I haven't been to the Rose Bowl in,
well, you don't go
I don't know,
games,
so. 10 years for a game. You know, people ask me, you know, what's there to eat in Westwood? And I'm like, I go to Westwood for one thing and one thing only, to attend a miserable 15 minutes of football practice, and then I leave. And it's usually at 8 in the morning, so I'm not going anywhere to eat there.
Okay. Good stuff. Well, we got a fun show for you today. A bunch of things we want to get to. The Big Ten Media Day is coming up. We'll talk about that a little bit. There's a battle between the SEC and the Big Ten for how the future of the college football playoff will be. We'll talk about that a little bit. Some news with Big Ten, the Big Noon Kickoff. They're going to add a new personality there. And I actually pulled up the Big Ten championship odds. Our friends over at MyBookie will be sponsoring us again this season. And so I wanted to take a quick look at the odds to win the Big Ten championship. Get your thoughts on that too, David. But you want to start with Media Day? What are you going to go with?
Gosh. I was on the top of Haleakala last week in Hawaii.
Which island is that?
That's Maui.
Oh, okay.
It's really something, you know, being on the top of a mountain, staring down at some clouds. It was just a magical experience. That's where I want to start, on Haleakala.
Okay.
So
he was talking about let's just vibe. I'm like, I need to have topics, but Dave's like, let's just vibe.
Have you been to the top of Haleakala?
I have not.
You know what's great about it is, unlike other mountains, particularly the tall ones, you know what you can do? You can drive to the top of that baby.
Oh, okay. So you didn't.
So much nicer. So much nicer. Because the thing is, with hiking in Maui, if you're staying in a resort, you are literally going from sea level to wherever that thing ends up.
Yes.
And for Haleakala in particular, that is 10,000 feet in the air. Even driving up it, you start to feel like a little bit like, I'm a little lightheaded.
That's a lot. You know, I'm very curious about that, because there's very few day hikes that you can go 10,000 feet of elevation gain. Like, I've done one, which if you Google it says, don't do this, you could die. But it's called Cactus to Clouds out in you go from Palm Springs, which is like 400 feet, to the top of San Jacinto, which is 10,800. A lot of people go from Wrightwood, which you get like 5,000 feet of elevation gain. If you go from – we had to leave at 1 in the morning. It was a terrible experience. It was 15 hours. I'm glad I did it, but I was miserable the entire time. But it's 10,000 feet in a day. So I'm curious if there is a day hike where you can go from somewhere near sea level to 10,000.
I'm sure there is. I'm certain there is, but I wouldn't recommend it. I did Mount Baldy, and that's not quite as much. I think that...
No, that's a good one, though. I like Mount Baldy.
No, that was a miserable hike. Because we went up the wrong way. We went up the steep way where you're like,
oh, that's the
going up the steps at different points, and you're like,
it's like the ski lodge trail or something, and then you came down Devil's Backbone.
Correct. Probably. Went the wrong way. Yes. Like, did it the wrong way. And like by the end, you're literally taking a step, taking both hands, putting them on your knee, crisscrossing your fingers, pushing down on your knee because your legs don't work anymore, and your arms still have a little bit of juice in them.
I did the opposite, but going down the steep part kind of stinks too, but it's...
That's why I say that's not a very good hike. Actually, walking anywhere in that stretch of mountains sucks real bad. Like, if you're going to go on a long, insane hike, just do it in the Eastern Sierras. Like, those were, you know, I don't believe in a god, but if there was one, he crafted that with his own hand, like literally went in there and was like, no, that lake goes there. Do it there. Not in whatever, like, shithole part of the, what is that, San Gabriel's? What is that?
San Gabriel, yeah.
Yeah, no, don't.
I did a lot of that during the pandemic. That was sort of like, but, you know, and if you guys haven't seen, I could pull up, David is a more svelte version of himself. I don't know if you can tell. Looking very good. And I think I, like, early pandemic time, I had lost some weight and stuff too, was in better shape. And I did a lot of hiking, so a lot of that stuff. And it's just so weird. I was running. I did like a 10K and I was like way faster than before. And then you realize like, oh, I was like 30 pounds less. Like, imagine carrying around like a 30-pound bag of potatoes. Like, oh my God, that you don't seem like you're, I mean, you feel different, but you're just going to be faster. You're going to be able to hike better. Yeah. So that's cool that you.
It's amazing.
Well, even though you drove up there, but.
I drove up there. I drove up there and I did some snorkeling. That's what I did in Hawaii.
Bertrand says, y'all have been off. Okay, I tried. I tried, by the way, but this was not. Y'all been off for months.
Your options were what? Media days and what was the other option? National title odds? I cover a 6-6 program. I don't care.
He says, having a 5-minute conversation about hiking. Thanks for picking up where y'all left off. Yeah, that's what we do. That's kind of our show. Yeah, the future of the show, we're going to continue. It'll be like a once a week thing. And I don't think we're going to go into the depth of every game, picking every game anymore. Well, that's the only thing. Should we still pick every game, but just not preview them all? Like, what do you think?
I don't know. I think the more we talk, the more we'll talk. If we do preview every game, we're going to end up talking for 2 hours no matter what, because we're talkers.
We do.
But we can kind of discuss formatting later on. But yeah, we want to continue to do probably once a week.
Once a week.
During the season, and then we'll see how the off season goes. I think doing this twice a week last season was a little bit much.
It was taxing.
We both have stuff going on that pays us money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the free parts.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Big Ten Media Days, we'll be there. I'm flying it on Tuesday. Dave's flying Wednesday. We both be there till the end. We'll do a show. That's the plan from Big Ten Media Day. So that should be a lot of fun. I don't know if you know this, David. There's 18 teams in this conference now.
You know what's so funny about you saying that?
Six per day.
Yeah. And I'm not even kidding right now. Yeah. I'm a little tired. When you said that, I'm like, that's not true. There are 16. Like, I swear to God, I was looking at the graphic you have up on our monitor right here, and I'm like, I'm actually counting them and then multiplying. And I'm like, wait, it is 18. I shouldn't bring this up because I'm an expert on this conference. But for a second there, I did think it was 16. And then I just did it anyway because I don't care.
Yeah. We will hear from Tony Petitti. We're going to talk about him and Greg Sankey a little bit. And we'll put a picture of Tony up there. We don't hear from much of him. We hear a lot from Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, Brett Yormark. But Tony Petitti, he did like one interview with Joel Klatt, and he hasn't talked much. But
is he a short fella?
You know, I don't know how tall he is.
Because his name is Petitti.
I get it.
You see what I did there?
He's from the media world.
Why do some people think petite means skinny?
Okay.
Why do people think that?
It's more about how
it's like, height.
Yeah,
it's height.
It's a tall thing.
Petite just means short.
Matthew wants to take his $5 back because he said free. Okay. We did get $5 today. So there's that. So sorry, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
He is a great, I mean, he would go, he
listens. You have put a couple of tacos in my children's stomachs. That's great.
I even brought him cookies, but he hasn't eaten them, which is crazy. We can show him the cookies in a second. Let me put it back up on the screen. Here, out.
All right, show.
There.
Am I up?
Yeah. I brought like smiley face cookies for David.
I'm trying to angle it. I don't have good orientation.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You kind of stick at that. All right.
I'll eat a cookie.
Perfect.
While I'm recording a podcast.
Day one.
I'll eat the pink one.
We have some high schools. Illinois, Indiana. Maryland, Nebraska, the Ohio State Buckeyes, defending national champions, and Rutgers. Plus, Tony Petitti. We will hear on day two from Minnesota, Northwestern, Big Ten champ, Oregon Ducks, Penn State, Washington, and on Wisconsin. Then on Thursday, we will get the Iowa Hawkeyes, Michigan Wolverines, Michigan State Spartans, Purdue, the Boilermakers, and then the LA schools, USC, UCLA.
You look at those logos. Hang on, put them back up.
Yes, sir.
You look at those logos.
Did you say please?
No.
We have kids.
We've got two N's, just the letter N. We've got one, two, three different M's.
Yeah.
Two W's. Could we do something here, people? Like, there's two O's. I guess Ohio State covers it with the Ohio State, but just anything besides just the first letter. Penn State, you're doing something. I like that. UCLA, doing the script. Okay, cool. Michigan State, Iowa, these are cool. Especially, like, you've been spurred on now.
Do you like the P for Purdue? Do you like the R for Rutgers? No, I don't think so.
No, I think they're lame, but at least there's not a repetition going on.
Ah.
Like, Maryland, Minnesota, Michigan, come on. Why don't you just switch? Do something else. Nobody thinks of Minnesota's logo. Nobody thinks of Maryland's logo. You guys change. Or Michigan. I don't really care. I don't really have a strong opinion about it. We just can't have multiple W's, can't have multiple M's, can't have multiple N's. Can somebody bring this up at Media Day, please?
Well, you'll be there. You can.
All right, but I'm not going to be there for Tony. Can you?
I'm not going to be there for Tony either.
Can I trust somebody out there who's listening? I know thousands of members of the media listen to this show.
Yes.
Several of them are watching right now.
Of course.
I please entreat you, beg you, ask them about this. Ask Tony why they can't change the logos.
Or they could like just be more regional you know, and you could have like everyone's grouped together by region instead of just across the nation. Do you ever thought about that?
Just thinking out loud, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC, like you put them together in like a conference. So I guess they couldn't just take other Big Ten programs that aren't on the West Coast. They'd have to find some new ones, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there were. Yeah.
Are there many? Like, are there? I don't know. Are there like 6 to 8 additional ones in the Western region that could form a conference with those four schools?
I don't know. Like Cal and Stanford, like they don't seem
okay. Happy. That's two, but like they're G5, aren't they?
They're ACC, baby.
Okay.
The Atlantic Coast Conference.
Okay.
And the Bay Area.
All right. You're getting a stew going now. All right. We can handle this.
Yeah. So is there anything? What are you looking forward to media days?
Hanging out with my friend Ryan.
Yeah. We're going to get some drinking. I will bring my podcasting equipment, so we'll do a show from Vegas.
I should say. No, I'm looking forward to a lot of stuff. I do think this is going to be one of the first opportunities I think anybody's had to speak with maybe the most interesting incoming transfer in the league this year in Nico Iamaleava. Wow.
You okay there?
No, I got a piece of cookie in my throat, but it helped because then I didn't have to pronounce Iamaleava correctly, and it sounds fine, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize you took a bite of the cookie. But
I did. I took a small bite several minutes ago, working its way down my
throat.
Would
you like a bottle of water?
I'd love it. You go do that while I talk.
Okay.
But Nico, this will be kind of the first opportunity for a lot of people to speak to him, first opportunity for me to speak to him. So that's going to be interesting. Obviously, the Tennessee transfer coming into UCLA should be really interesting. And then combine that with probably one of the more interesting coach storylines of media days, which is Deshaun Foster. Will he have a repeat performance of his media day flub from last year? What's the prediction for what Deshaun's going to do? Is he going to have fun with it? Is he going to make a joke? Or is he going to pretend like it never happened?
That's a really good point. I would be along, like, if you make a joke about it, and I think he'll have more training and understand what he needs to do and not, you know, declare what city UCLA is in, stuff like that. Like, I think, you know.
I think walking up to the podium, he doesn't need to make a big thing about it, but I think walking up to the podium and just saying, well, we're in Vegas, would be like a funny way to start.
Yes,
and just do that and let that be the only thing and then just talk about your team. Because he's not a comedian. Don't get up there and try to do like 30 seconds of a bit. But just say something like that as like a light allusion to, huh, and then talk about your team.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
That would be great. But I'm assuming he's going to do much better. And they actually performed better on the field last year than a lot of people expected. So,
including me.
You got that going for you. But. It'll be interesting. I think the Tony Petitti stuff, I think he's going to end up talking a lot. He'll be doing a lot of different media interviews. He's not the most, even though he comes from that background, he's not like the most comfortable doing that stuff. I was listening to John Canzano the other day, and he did a one-on-one with Tony Petitti last year at Media Day, and Petitti thought it was going to be for print. And Canzano wanted to run it like on his radio show. And there would be, according to Canzano, that Petitti pushed back a little bit, but they eventually talked him into it. Where, like, I think Sankey's just more like he's out there. He's out there planting seeds and kind of pushing the agenda and all the propaganda and everything for the SEC. But I think he's out there a lot more. It's just been a different approach from what the Big Ten is doing and the SEC. Is doing, but on Petitti's side, you got the last two national championship programs in your conference. We'll get into like the whole arguing about what they should do for the playoff, but you kind of understand he's coming from, hey, we can get these automatic qualifiers and play in games and make a shit ton more money. Sorry, Griffin, but I think there's that, and what. I think for Sankey, they're trying to keep all the SEC crazy fans happy and all the coaches that want, what's good for them and everything. There's just got a lot. Like, those are the two most powerful people in the sport right now, and they're not really seeing eye to eye. And they certainly have different approaches when it comes to addressing the media and talking about stuff, either out in the open or behind the scenes.
Them disagreeing and being in firm disagreement is one of the best possible things for the state of the sport.
Oh, really?
In a long time. And I hope it continues, because the last thing the sport needs is like heavier consolidation around the big conferences. I think for the long-term health of the sport, a little bit of polarization allows for the ACC and the Big 12 to continue as viable constructs for more time. I gotta check into a flight. I think that's better for everyone going forward. Now, the only problem with rivalry is if both sides are pretty greedy, they might just look to, you know, shore up their power positions and continue to eat up the rest of college football. But I do think, you know, having these two sides in firm disagreement, and it seems like intractable disagreement. First, it might limit expansion of the playoff, which is good. Because the thing's stupid and it's getting dumber every minute. But also, I think where we were headed a year ago was towards basically probably 30 some odd teams in a mini NFL. And it feels like maybe we haven't taken steps away from that, but we're at least not making more steps forward to that stupid conclusion of this sport that we know and love. So I think it's good. I don't really have a dog, and I don't know if we want to get into the playoff
now. Yeah, we can get into it, sure.
I don't really have a dog in the fight. I think our friend Andrew could explain it better than I could as to, like, what's better and what's worse. I'll just say any further expansion is worse. Contraction would be better of the playoff. I don't care to 8 or 4 or 2 or no playoff or whatever. But if we're going to do it, going from 12 to 14 is maybe the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. You may as well go from 12 to 16.
Yeah.
But the point about automatic qualifiers, I think, is where things get a little bit wonky. It makes it, if you've got too many automatic qualifiers beyond just the conference championships for, I guess, the majors, you end up with a situation where non-conference play does not matter. It just doesn't, because you're going to get a bid in the playoffs. And I guess it comes down to seeding at that point. But you're making seeding arguments in September. It's just, it's a hard pillow to swallow, and you will see those matchups matter less. And you'll also see schools schedule them less. And I think you've made the argument in the past, well, actually, schools will be freed up to do that because they don't matter. Yeah, that's not the way it's going to work, though. The reality is they're going to try to avoid injuries. They're going to try to play backups, and you're going to see FCS September every year. And that's, I don't think, anyone's idea of a good time.
I think if you were doing the automatic qualifiers, the SEC and the Big Ten would have some kind of scheduling alignment and all that. And just to kind of back up a little bit.
No. All the way forward.
All the way forward.
Yeah.
The way the new play, so this is the last year of the current form of the playoff. ESPN has it starting in 2026. If the way it can be changed is basically the Big Ten and the SEC can decide. And I know Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, kind of said at some point, oh, no, that's not the way it is. Greg Sankey said, yes, it is. That was the agreement. So basically the Big Ten and the SEC can decide what the format's going to be going forward. Everyone thought they were in alignment, where 4 automatic qualifiers for each of those, 2 for the ACC and the Big 12, and then 3 at-larges going forward. And then, and I think this was a brilliant by Yormark, he kind of got in some of the SEC people's ears and were like, hey, that's not good for you. The SEC, if you do 5 plus 11, where you have 5 conference champions and then 11 at-larges, the SEC can get a whole bunch of extras, and they don't need just 4. And I don't think he's wrong about that. So he's sort of like, poke the bear a little, and then now there's a confrontation. I think a lot of the Big Ten athletic directors and coaches felt like this was going to be a done deal. Now it's not. So the big battle now, and I think Brett McMurphy tweeted something today, and this is kind of what everyone thought anyway. The Big Ten is like, okay, we want to do this automatic qualifier thing. And I think a lot of it's Tony Petitti being like, you can have you know, 1 and 2 play, but you can also have 3 and 6 play, and then 4 and 5. And then those are play-in games to get into the college football playoff. All those games you can sell. It's more inventory and all that. And that's, I think, the main reason Tony Petitti and the Big Ten are looking at that. The SEC could do that too, but the SEC has the system gained pretty well because they only have the 8 conference games. And you have, you know, with a lot of the stuff where you would prop up SEC teams was like a Vanderbilt could go 2 and 6 in conference, but 4-0 and out of conference, and they make a bowl game. You're like, we played a bowl team, and they won 2 SEC games, you know, because you only play 8. And I think now the sticking point is, and that's what we've been talking about, I probably talked about it 2 months ago, the Big Ten wants the SEC to go to 9 games. So they're not going to agree to the 5+11 format unless the SEC goes to 9 games. I think Sankey actually wants that, but a lot of the coaches in the SEC don't want that. They want to have their little system in place where you only play. Kirby Smart came out yesterday at big SEC media days and said, why would you want to add 9 more losses? Well, the Big Ten already does that. And it does, it's a disadvantage to have an extra conference game. There are extra, you can't, you know, there's extra losses pulled in there. And with the conferences as big as they are, I think you need more conference games, not less. So I think the sticking point right now, David, is the Big Ten might want to, I know they want to stay with the automatic qualifiers court, but they're not even going to look at the 5+11 unless everyone's playing 9 conference games. And right now the SEC and the ACC are only playing 8.
Yeah. And I think that is a situation where I don't see it getting smoothed over because the SEC doesn't really have much reason to budge. They're still going to dominate the current format of the playoff. They're going to dominate any format of the playoff. You only have to look at the last 20 years.
Well, they didn't last year. I mean, they only got 3 in.
But exception that kind of proves.
Yeah, rule. Yeah, yeah.
But I do think that's why they're a little skeptical of wanting to budge to 9 conference games. Because if you look at Alabama's situation, from a strength of schedule standpoint, from a metric standpoint, they should have been in, right? 100% should have been in. But they had the losses. Like they had, you know, they went 9-3. And yeah, for an imperfect committee that is not basing things entirely off of numbers and analytics, like I think in a BCS world, it would behoove them to even go harder into strength of schedule, like into, you know, numbers based analytics and that sort of stuff. And yeah, we'll add a 9th conference game and we'll get 12 SEC teams in the 16 team playoff every year because we've got that whole system pretty well locked down. But the reality is it's humans who are doing this. And many of them, I think, on that committee are still just counting wins and losses. So they're in an interesting spot, but I still think they're going to fundamentally dominate continuously because they acquire the most talent, you know, by and large throughout that conference. They're sitting on the best talent, you know, between Georgia and Louisiana and Florida and Texas now. Things are weighted heavily towards the SEC, and I think the Big Ten, you know, saying no, we're not doing this is, again, like I said earlier, good for college football because the SEC has no reason to budge, the Big Ten has no reason to budge, maybe we won't see them budge, and maybe this, you know, long death march to professionalization of the sport, and I don't mean, you know, paying players, that's fair and good, but the professionalization of, like, the actual product will slow down a little bit.
Yeah. So that's the kind of fight that's going on right now. Mark,
somebody brings up in the chat, auto qualifiers might – oh, you're putting that up. Might save SC and Notre Dame. Is that true?
So, yeah. So I think from people I've talked to – and I think this is about the point of the out of conference games. We'll get to this with the Indiana-Virginia stuff. For at least the people I talked to at USC, they had offered a 1-year extension for the rivalry, and Notre Dame wanted to come back and do a longer one. You know, Notre Dame said no. And I think when the Big Ten thought that automatic qualifiers were in, USC would have no problem continuing to play Notre Dame. Maybe they move it around, different part of the schedule or whatever, because then if you just finish in the top 4, you're in. And the Notre Dame game, if you lost, it wouldn't hurt your playoff chances. I still think it's going to go on, but I think it would have definitely gone on more, you know, it definitely would have continued if automatic qualifiers were a part of it. So, and I think when we talk about like Indiana, like would Indiana have canceled that if they knew automatic qualifiers were a part, you know, the game with Virginia, if they knew automatic qualifiers were a part of it. I'm not sure. But I think that's part of what's going on here is that the hope is that schools will take more risk by scheduling out-of-conference games that are very good because it's not going to hurt your chances to make the college football playoff. That's the premise. I know you disagree with that, but I think that would I would agree.
It depends on the school. I think certain schools, maybe like a UCLA, might be predisposed to try to schedule big-time non-conference games because they're looking to get butts in seats.
Yes.
But I think for the schools that are going to get butts in seats no matter what, like many of the SEC schools, many of the Big Ten schools, your incentive to doing that, because you've got to figure, you got to play your starters longer, you're going to get more injuries, you're playing against a higher quality athlete, there's probably going to be more injuries. It's not worth it. Like, it's not worth, I mean, unless you're going into a big neutral site game, I guess, but those I don't see dying off because you get a lot of money for those. But home games, road games, I don't see it.
I mean, maybe on the coaching side, you don't want it. But I think for the athletic directors, they're facing major, major budget crunches because of the revenue sharing, which that's happened since we last recorded a show.
But you also want to add home games. You want to have increasingly, it's not just seven you want. You want to try to get eight when you can. And so they're going to want three non-conference home games as often as they can get them. And that involves scheduling down. It involves scheduling G5 and FCS. Because they're the only ones who are going to agree to that. And it's an outlay of cost, actually. Like, they're not getting money for that. But that's what the coaches are going to want. And honestly, I think at the bottom line, it's going to be what the ADs want, too, because they want to maximize their chances of getting postseason revenue.
Yeah, and I think, like, you have to look at it. Well, if UCLA has got San Diego State and, like, San Jose State at home, you know, back-to-back years, or they got one game against Florida, you know, like, which one's better? And then you play a road game against Florida. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think that's something you have to decide. But the thought is, if you make the automatic qualifiers, that the people won't worry about scheduling the hurtfulness of having these bigger games as far as like making the postseason.
I think if we want to fix scheduling, I've got this idea.
All right.
So we have a lot of historical venues throughout the country, right? Like these iconic stadiums, thinking like the Rose Bowl for one of them.
Sure.
But like there's a lot of these, right, around the country. What if instead of having a playoff structure exactly, you instead had it so like the winners of certain conferences or certain divisions of conferences in this case, like say like the Western teams of the Big Ten,
yeah,
play like the winner of the like Eastern side of the Big Ten in the Rose Bowl every single year in January. And then you had one in like New Orleans, right?
Uh-huh.
That was, you know, between like the SEC and then like some other league, right? And you had one in Florida. At, you know, like we could call it like the Orange Bowl or something. And that could be between, you know, ACC and something else, right?
So like a group of games, maybe all played
right. close but here's, to each other. Here's the important
part. We could call them like dishes or dishes, pots and pans.
Plates,
or
whatever you want to call them. But here's the cool part.
Bowls? I don't know.
Don't have a playoff structure at all. And instead make it adhere to some sort of structure of voting at the end of it. So it incentivizes you to play a cool schedule where you beat some real teams and then you win your bowl game. And then somebody at the end of it says, you know what? You had an awesome year. You're actually the national champion. And that's the way it works. What do you think?
Yeah. There's been some.
Have there been any tests of this? Have they play tested this one?
Yeah, there's some weird stuff that happened during that, the voting.
Interesting.
I think the BCS is actually better than that, but
I would take the BCS in a heartbeat, honestly. I would take BCS or bowl games. I mean, bowl games, the thing with bowl games is it does, and I'm not being facetious here, it does incentivize you still playing real games. Like, you got to play real games because you got to look the part or else the narrative builds around you that they're not actually very good because they haven't played anybody. But BCS accomplishes that through the, you know, formulas and all that kind of stuff. Once you, if you don't dilute the BCS too much, I think that'd be great too.
Yeah. Lizard King, we don't need an old jumbled up system, please. I agree
with you. Yeah, we 100% do.
I agree with
you.
We
100% do.
I'm on your.
This is going in such a bad direction.
I like it better. But yeah. Well, that kind of leads to Indiana. Canceled its two-game football series with Virginia out of the ACC. It was going to be in 2027 and 2028. They're going to pay $500,000. This was reported by Heartland College Sports. They're going to play Kennesaw State and Austin Peay instead, which I think that's sucky. But what do you think?
I mean, that's kind of Indiana's scheduling historically. So I don't think it's that crazy. I think when you start to see the truly, like, you know, the big time marquee games get canceled and stuff, which has happened. There was the UCLA Georgia series got canceled. You know, that stuff happens. But, you know, Indiana, Virginia, you're talking historically two. And I obviously Indiana had a great year last year, and I don't mean to denigrate them, but you're talking about historically two of the like mid to low tier programs in their conferences. So them canceling, it could be as simple as, oh, we just want to make sure we get that seventh win that year or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't really like it. I like to see the bigger games being played, whatever you got to do. All right. So.
You like seeing bigger games getting played? Why would you want to involve a game with Virginia then?
It's an ACC school.
When was the last time Virginia was good?
Didn't they win a national championship in basketball like recently?
Let's look at Virginia's football seasons over the years. Let's see the last time they were really any good at all. 2019, they finished ranked. They were 9-5. They were 8-5 the previous year. Before that, the last time they had 8 wins was 2011. Yeah, this is basically like, I don't know, UCLA of the last 25 years, but forever.
It's still like, then why don't play? Well, just play them. Like,
because you don't want to play Virginia.
You get credit. At least it's a Power Four school.
Because getting into Charlottesville is a pain. I don't know.
Yeah.
They just don't want to do it. Why are you judging Indiana?
I don't know. Hold on. Because, wait, where is it?
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse. He knows the score. He gets the women. And he kills the bad guys. Signetti kills.
That guy should not be afraid of the Cavaliers, is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I am picking up what you are putting down.
Nice. This is interesting.
What's interesting, Ryan?
This news. Saw today. So Fox Sports is nearing a deal to add Dade Portnoy of Barstool Sports to its Big Noon Kickoff college football pregame show. And apparently him and I'm not a big Barstool. I don't really know much about Barstool, but him and Big Cat could potentially get a FS1 show because they canceled Breakfast Ball, The Facility, and Speak. So it's, yeah, I don't know.
I'm against it. I am against platforming anyone who's as unspeakably uncouth as to be as so ostentatiously from Boston as Dave Portnoy.
Didn't he?
You cannot allow a Bostonian, another Bostonian, yet another Bostonian on our television screens on a weekly basis. I draw the line here, Ryan.
Isn't he a Michigan guy?
But he is the most Boston accented person you have ever heard in your entire life.
Someone that works in sports, I know less about Barstool.
The only thing I've ever consumed of his are his pizza reviews. He has the most Boston accent you have ever heard in your entire life.
Packy cat.
Yeah, it's just like the red anus of that city personified. So no, like the thing I'll say, like Pat, pronounce his last name again for me.
I think it's Portnoy.
No, Pat.
Oh, McAfee.
McAfee, right. he is obnoxious and stupid and the whole thing, but like non-controversial. I think this is a
really?
I think this is a misstep for Fox Sports because I think they're underestimating like Some people just really don't like that. Some people really like it. Some people really don't.
A lot of
really
people hate
don't.
McAfee.
Well, a lot of people hate McAfee because he's, again, an annoying blowhard who sucks. But that's like a qualitative thing. People like boycott Barstool all the time. Like they there's controversy around it. And I think that's – and also the guy's like a multimillionaire. How are you going to rein him in if you need to?
Yeah.
Like they – you know, they try to rein in, say his name again.
Pat McAfee?
Yeah, and he's like a former punter. You can kind of do that. But a guy who's like a business owner who's worth, you know, over probably $100 million, that's going to be hard to do. So
Matthew says he's from Swampscott. Swampscott.
Yeah, he's got, I mean, it is so yeah. Boston, man. I can't auntie, listen to that.
My auntie was from Swampscott.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. He's
Lizard King likes your quote, the red anus of that city personified.
It's incredible, man. Like, go watch a pizza review of
should
his
we do
sometime.
This should be the screenshot. You want to point down at the, you know, like.
The red anus. Red anus.
Okay. That's at the 41-minute mark. So
Swampscott.
Swampscott.
Like, look at that name. Can we just carve Massachusetts off the country?
My niece is from Massachusetts.
Like, what's going on there?
They were just visiting. It's funny, one of the towns, it's pronounced, or it's spelled like Worcester, but it's like Worcester.
Worcester.
What, not Woost, Worcester. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Worcester.
Worcester. It's worst. I used to worst. Go, sorry, yeah, the Worcester friend. Centrum. I saw Def Leppard when I was a kid. I saw Boston. Boston did nine freaking shows. They did. They had like... I think they had like two albums down and they needed to do a third and it was like years. There was like a
what's
contract.
Going on with accents out there?
I don't
it's
know.
It's got to be a put on,
I moved
right?
from Pennsylvania where it was more twangy. Like I think, it, you know, like the Yinz guys and us. And then we go there and I was in another world. Like I think one of my, like my fifth grade, I moved in fifth grade. Like they were doing like synonyms and like, if I remember this correctly, he said father, like your dad. And farther, like farther away, like we're synonyms because they're father and father. You know, it's like the same. You would say it the same. That's my father. That's father that way, you know? And it was like, that's not a synonym. should be pronounced differently.
The insane one, my aunt is from New York. She'll tell you that Mary the name, Mary as in Merry Christmas, and Mary as in marry somebody are all different, like completely different pronunciations. And you're crazy if you don't think so. And I'm listening and I'm like, there's absolutely no difference here whatsoever because it's Mary. And then she's like, no, it's Mary for Merry Christmas.
Mary.
And then Mary for marrying somebody. And then it's Mary, the name. And nice. I'm like, you're saying the same thing over and over again. So I ask you, yeah, homonyms, not homonyms. Synonyms.
Sorry.
Man, Jesus.
I'm sorry, my homonyms.
But you got New York, all their accents. I'm not going to get into like Queens versus Brooklyn, but come on. You're just
all the boroughs.
You're just putting it on at this point. You've got Boston, horrible. You've got Pittsburgh. You heard that one?
Yeah.
You have.
I told you that's where I used to live. Yeah.
And then you've got everything going on in the South, which I have verified beyond a reasonable doubt is all play acting. Because the way you get accents is by spending all your time around people who sound like you and watching absolutely no television. Because television is all like received English now. Like you do not get accents on television. So to actually just continue to stay in your accent all that time requires work. And it requires absolutely no assimilation whatsoever. So I ask you all, Ryan doesn't have an accent. Do you hear one?
Where did he
grow up? Yeah.
He's
ghost. Yeah.
But I've been out
because
here
he's like, been out here and he's like, you know what? I'm going to assimilate because this sounds ridiculous. So he did. Do it too. If you're listening from the East Coast, if you're listening from the South, you sound ridiculous. Fix it.
All right. That's your public service announcement from David Woods. I had one other thing, so we'll see. Yeah,
I will say, upper Midwest, you're excused. Your accents are adorable. I will listen to those all day.
Sorry.
But everything east of like Eastern Ohio, fix it. Fix it right now.
Gotcha. All right. So our friends at MyBookie have the Big Ten Conference winner odds out. Who do you think is the favorite? So Ohio State won the national championship. Oregon won the Big Ten last year. Who should be the favorite in your mind?
Ohio State.
They are plus 188. So they are a fairly big favorite. Penn State, number two, plus 238. And Oregon's just behind, well, a little behind, plus 300. And then there's a pretty big drop off after that. Michigan comes in at plus 880. So those are the top four. Who do you think is like in the top eight? Who's like five, six, seven, eight? Who would you think?
Okay. So we are at Oregon, then Michigan, right?
Yeah. So Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, Michigan.
Okay. USC always gets overrated, so they're going to be somewhere in the next group.
Plus 2,300, they're fifth.
Okay. Washington wouldn't be there yet because they're not there in their rebuild.
No. I'll give you a hint.
Indiana?
Illinois, fighting.
Oh,
Illinois.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
Plus 3,400 return. Not a lot of returning quarterbacks. They do have one coming back. But you did mention our friends.
Indiana Hoosiers.
I guess I could have been playing.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
I could have been playing all the drops. Plus 3,600. And then this is an interesting one.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm thinking they're buying the Dane Holgorsen effect there. Dylan Raiola entering his second year.
Yeah.
Different defense, maybe revamped. So I can buy that one.
Yeah, they're plus 3,800. And then right behind them is
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Plus 3,900. So that's kind of the top nine. Then
where's Minnesota?
After Iowa is a pretty big drop off. Washington comes in at plus 5,400. Then it's like a big drop off. The
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
I miss these. Plus 11,000.
Wow.
Michigan State plus 14,000.
Weirdly, you haven't mentioned UCLA yet.
We're getting there.
I would assume they were a lot higher. I thought you maybe like oversight.
No, they're there. Wisconsin, 1,500, plus 1,500. UCLA, plus 15,000, plus UCLA. UCLA, plus 19,000. Rutgers, plus 24,000. Maryland, plus 38,000. Northwestern, plus 42,000. And Purdue, plus 46,000. If you think Purdue can come back, you can put a few bucks on that. Maybe we'll do that when we're in Vegas.
Maybe a couple bucks on Purdue.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems to make sense. This is like early season stuff, but any thoughts?
No, that all sounds like what you would think preseason. We need to do our picks. We got to do our picks. We got to do that for one of these upcoming shows.
Yeah, we got to do some picks.
Because I'll have a better idea once I do those. But I would say from a value perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say value.
I think I like Minnesota. And I know. UCLA.
Ooh, plus 19,000.
I don't like them to win the conference, but I like them as a value play because that's really low. And they're going to have, I mean, look, was Nico awesome at Tennessee? No. Was he a, you know, freshman who like threw like, I think like three interceptions the entire year starting in the SEC? Yeah. So I don't know. I think they're going to be better.
Lizard King says USC is going to best ride college football like a colossus of yore.
USC.
Plus 2,400.
A Solid Verbal always had a good little bit, which was the USC hype machine starting up every offseason. Because it's every offseason where people suddenly forget what just happened the previous year. And then they're like, oh, but everything's going to be fine now. Lincoln Riley's still their head coach. He's still going to find a way to not run the ball, even though that'll be the strength of the team again, because that's what he does. They'll find a way to lose games they should win, And they're still in a conference that is heavily geared towards the Midwest and the East Coast, and they have to travel a lot more than other teams.
I booked all my flights. There's a lot of travel.
Yeah, they got to go.
I think Oregon travels the most, but USC and UCLA, I think, are like second, third or something.
Yeah, and they all have to go something like 15,000 miles, whereas I think a lot of those Midwestern teams are in the like 5 to 8 range. It matters. So anyway.
I think value, I might look at...
Iowa Hawkeyes.
I just like the drop, but plus 3,600. You know, what if the offense is better?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be better. Like, there's potential there. I think Nebraska's got a chance to, I mean, Illinois
more,
is like
more value plays for playing the overs, I would say, than playing the actual winning the conference. Because winning the conference in today's day and age, it's kind of like winning a national title. You have to have ratio of talent to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think UCLA, I don't think Iowa, I don't think Nebraska, I don't think Minnesota have that. But I do, you know, I think all those teams could, you know, flirt with their overs this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we will come back and answer a lot of questions. All right. Back in a second. All right, we're back here on the podcast of champions. Somehow we went 50 minutes. We didn't really have much to talk about.
That's right, baby.
That's just what we do.
We're back.
We got some questions. Oh, I have a voicemail that's been sitting here for quite a while.
Let's listen to it.
Okay.
Hey, Ryan. This is for you and Jeff over there at the Big 12 podcast of champions. Well, hate for you guys to leave. I mean, I've been a big fan of the show since early 2025. The video simulcasts are cool. Ryan looks great for his age. I'm always shocked when I find out that Jeff is younger than me. I was born in 1984. And I always thought that Jeff was born in 73. But hey, tough living. I'm sure being a Bruin has been stressful on his face. So this is to let you guys know. I know it's been tough last year. I was listening to the pod every once in a while, and it seemed tough for you guys to be covering the ACC all the time with all the teams in it. But you know, stick around. I know you guys are based out of L.A., and, you know, watching all those games in the Northeast has been difficult, or sometimes we have those games down there in the South. Been tough to watch and not as enjoyable as it was the Pac-12. But I hope you guys don't quit, because you guys are definitely in my top 7 podcasts about regional college football that occasionally posts. So if you guys don't have a show anymore, I'll probably just move. Maybe just watch more Joe, or listen to more Joe Rogan, I guess, would be my option. But, you know, don't want to have to do that. So thank you very much, Ryan and Jeff. Keep up all the good work, and look forward for you guys to keep on plugging away with this Sunbelt podcast. Thank you.
Who was that?
I think it was Perk.
That was not Perk.
Was it a Perk? Oh, maybe not. Did it say in the beginning? I'll start at the beginning.
Hey, Ryan, this is for you and Jeff over there at the Big 12 podcast of champions.
Perk. No, that didn't sound like Perk. Yeah,
no,
that was good. Good people stuff. In the chat asking who's Jeff.
I'm Jeff.
I don't know if we've heard the Jeff one before. Usually, if they get they'll get both of our names.
It'll be
wrong.
Like Ray and Dan or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
But just to be Ryan and Jeff, that was a little confusing.
That was good.
Good stuff. We have a lot of emails. So, and I think the first one is Andrew, but it's like literally the eye charts and stuff.
It's actually a beautiful email because it is such a callback to yesteryear, where these eye charts are the most eye chart things you've ever seen in your entire life. Can you download one and put it on as a picture onto the show right now?
I cannot.
Come on, man. No. Okay. It's insane. Anyway, we love you, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Which one do you want? Like, I'll try to...
Just pick one. It doesn't matter. I want people to see what we're looking at.
All right, hold on. I'll try to do this. While we're alive here, might as well. Yeah, this
email is also 2 months old.
Right. But like, people are giving us ideas. Okay, here it is up on the screen.
Yeah, look at that thing. That's what he wants us to discuss.
That's one of 16, he said. If you're watching us on YouTube, like, here, I'll try to center a little more. But he did used to send us printed out versions of like the Pac-12 schedule.
Yeah.
Which was cool. But holy crap. Like,
this is so cool. This is what he used to send us way back in the day.
Yeah.
We would get these. Andrew's main thesis.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's like 10 of those.
It's a lot. Andrew's main thesis, though, is that we should track the diaspora, track the diaspora, former Big Ten, former Pac-12 schools in their new locations, and that.
Yeah. Matthew says incredible. Yes. There's 10 of those and an email that's like 12 paragraphs long with links and all kinds of stuff.
Beautiful. So, absolutely beautiful.
Holy cow. Like that's not why I don't want to do the show anymore, but holy crap. That's not a reason to keep doing the show.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to encourage us to do the show.
That might have killed Ryan's will to live, actually.
That happened right after we did our last episode. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I just looked at that email. I'm like, this isn't for me.
All right, Mark in Vancouver. Rivalry ending? Hello, champions. Question primarily for Ryan. There are rumors on the internet that USC will not renew their rivalry with Notre Dame beyond the 2026 season. The given explanation is that because USC travels cross-country for Big Ten conference play, that they want to free up that non-conference game for playing a local team instead. Do any of these rumors have merit? Can I answer for you?
Yes.
Because you already answered this at length. Sure. And I do want to just say it's because Lincoln Riley is a wuss and he's ducking Notre Dame because he doesn't want to get the floor wiped with himself every single year by the Fighting Irish from South Bend. Mm. Any other follow-ups? No?
He beat him year one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bonus question for David. Would you want to see Notre Dame schedule UCLA instead if USC ducks out? Keep it adequate. Mark in Vancouver, Washington. Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't think as like a yearly thing. I think that's stupid. But, you know, getting them on the schedule more regularly would be fun.
Yeah. Our buddy John Abrea, I'm going to have lunch with him tomorrow.
Hey.
Yeah, should be cool. Future of the POC. Dear Ryan and Dave, after listening to your last podcast, I'm worried about you both. I'm writing to encourage you to preserve your mental health, or what's left of it after last year, by abandoning the practice of watching and analyzing every Big Ten football game. Life is too short to watch Big Ten football, and I will now speak for every loyal POC listener when I say we care about you. We don't care about Purdue versus Minnesota and never will. We care about Disney princesses, mythical Pac-12 power rankings, Shane's wife's sound effects, Amy from Utah, Perk's voicemails, and even the Zodiac Killer. We care about the U.S. president rankings and Ryan's vacations. We don't care about Illinois versus Rutgers. Keep it mediocre. Dream big. John and Brea.
Beautiful. Beautiful email.
We had like David vacations, and we had to do the show today instead of Thursday because David's going on vacation again. So I don't know about this.
I'm going away. U.S. president ranking. So something about this. This is important. Yeah. My children, now 9 and 12, just as like a benchmark, they've gone beyond Disney stuff. And I don't know how this happened, but they started listening to Hamilton, the musical.
Okay.
Which was a big deal 8 years ago, I want to say. Where people were listening to that constantly. And it got me thinking about revolutionary figures and stuff. And I think the biggest and craziest thing that happened from that musical is that Alexander Hamilton, who was like basically like a hardcore capitalist libertarian monarchist, right, has become this like
beloved feature,
like beloved figure, yeah. Liberal figure. And it's like, Not the guy. That's not the guy. And you can't just like glom like modern politics onto revolutionary era politics and like, oh, he was from New York, so he's probably no, bad politics. Bad politics. Like Thomas Jefferson, slaveholder, yeah. But like slightly better politics. So just, you know, a little note. I was trying to explain this to my kids and then they looked at me like I was a psychopath because they were just like, pardon me, are you Aaron Burr, sir? That depends. Who's asking? Well, of course, sir. I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I've been looking for you. I'm getting nervous. That's a little line from Hamilton.
From Hamilton, yeah.
You don't get it.
So they tried to modernize, politically modernize.
Well, they're just trying to apply these certain things. And it's like, and like my nine-year-old's asking me, so would you have voted for Alexander Hamilton if he could have run for president? I'm like, first of all, I wasn't alive back then. I'm not that old. But second, no. Homie sucked. Like super sucked. And yeah, centralizing the government was an important thing, but not with all the other stuff. He wanted King George. He wanted King George Washington. We don't want that.
Yeah.
We kind of ended up with it anyway, but you know. Anyway.
Good stuff.
All right. We got to move on.
I think, are you up?
Yeah, this is from Frank in Sacramento.
Okay.
Not a question. At some point, the sports that people care about will be staffed by athletes who are college employees. For the most part, that looks like football, men's basketball, and possibly women's basketball. In certain parts of the country, that could be college wrestling or baseball as well. The participants will be paid a cut of the TV revenue they generate. All other sports will be club sports and athletic scholarships will end. That will take care of the Title IX issues since no college student will get an athletic scholarship. There's not a question there.
No, but he's probably not wrong.
He's not wrong, but yes.
Preach. I just did something for like the first time in like my life. I was like, when we're reading these emails, you know, my eyes are getting worse. I'm getting older, David. This is the way, you know, I was actually born in 1970. That's not a joke. That's when I was born. I went to the top of Chrome in the corner and I added 10% to the zoom. It was like 100%.
Shit.
I like, do you see people on their phones?
When you eat in a dark restaurant, do you have to take out your phone flashlight to look at the menu now?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, damn.
It's like, and I had LASIK surgery like years ago and my eyes were really good. And then, but that was like 20 something years ago.
You're going to have to get reading glasses.
It's getting close. You know, it's like, I still do distance pretty good, but like the reading glass thing is like the, especially when it's dark. But I don't like, I see other people's phones, especially even people like younger than me. And it's like huge font. I'm like, I haven't changed the font of anything. And because like when we're reading too, and it's like, sometimes it's hard because mm-hmm, like trying to read small letters and long emails.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to bump it up. I have not done that on anything. And
All right, Grandpa, let's put you to
I
bed.
Just did it. Grandpa just did it.
Yeah.
Did he send two of those or no?
Yeah. Oh,
no.
Next one. Big Ten Media Days. Dave, remember, you're not truly hungover unless you can say, for a while there, I was afraid I was going to live.
We've done that in Vegas.
Last time. I'm not doing that again.
No.
Solemn promise, I am not doing that
again. I can't.
I don't have that in me anymore.
I don't want to be taking someone to urgent care, one of your friends.
No, not that one. Do you remember when we were the most hungover we've ever been going to the no truck stops, RIP?
Oh, God. Yeah, that was bad.
That was one of the worst days of my life.
That was, and we had like a big brunch.
Yeah.
Like, awesome. Was that with Matthew?
It was with Matthew.
Oh, my God. He's like Caesar's Palace hookup brunch. It was
we were like an hour and 30 minutes late to that brunch because we were just absolutely wrecked.
Not in good shape.
No.
Good stuff. POC update, updated format idea. This is from another Ryan. Hey, guys. I can't imagine losing your podcast as the best background noise of my workday. As a suggestion, what if you went to a true Big Ten podcast? Take USC and UCLA, plus eight teams of your choice, can even do it giraffe style before the season starts, where you go back and forth choosing teams to get up to 10. This takes it back to a literal Big Ten. I feel like this should appeal to Dave, and it cuts out the crap nobody wants to cover. You can redraft each preseason to keep it fresh. Here's to less work and more fun for you guys, Ryan. I mean, that
idea has some merit.
It does. It is less work. I like a draft.
And we would still talk about the other teams because occasionally the 10 teams that we were covering would play them.
Yeah.
I don't know. That idea has some merit.
I mean, we get a lot of shitty ideas. Sorry, Griffin, but do we remember the bit? Do we remember the Griffin bit? That's good. Yeah. How have I been the one that swore twice and you haven't swore at all? Like, this is weird.
I said something under my breath, sotto voce. Okay. This is from Frank in Sacramento. Keep it going. You guys have to keep the podcast going. I listened to both of you on Bud's Summer School, and you were the only reporters who weren't fast-talking sunshine pumpers. I love it how you keep it real.
Thanks, Frank. And no, I mean, I'm not here to... Neither one of us are propping up, like, universities we cover. Like, I don't know, but we know them the best.
No, we tear them down every opportunity.
But, if I think USC is really good, I'll tell you, you know? Like, the USC is, like, 7.5 over-under. I would go with the over this year. David might be right, and they go 6-6 again. I mean, I don't know. But, like, I try to tell you where I think it's
I can't remember the last time I was wrong about USC. I'll say that.
Nice.
When was the last time? Not the last couple of years. I think I've nailed it each
year. I think year one of Riley, you were wrong.
A little bit wrong.
Yeah.
No, I thought they were going to be great that year.
Did you really?
I think so.
That was like the Death Star stuff.
Yeah.
And then they were bad after that. Oh, I went the wrong way.
That's just a spam thing, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think actually there's some people that emailed us with like ideas and stuff, and I actually emailed them, I think, off. Maybe not this one, but I tried to email some people. This is attempt 5. What is this?
Helvetic mercenaries.
But this is like a chart. Okay. Hey, guys. No jokes. I still like listening to this show, even though it has derailed. Anyways, here is attempt 5 of inviting you to whatever shitty football program I am working with at the time of the email. Helvetic mercenaries, Zurich, Switzerland, European League of Football. Currently, we are 0-3. Don't expect us to win either, but I can at least get you a ticket to the game if it's a home match. So, okay. Oh, he's in Zurich.
Okay.
So he's inviting us to, I thought this was like a font or something.
I'm looking at their current record. I'm going to try to find it.
Okay.
They're currently 0-7.
So he was right.
Yeah. This is 4 more losses since then.
Yeah. Unrelated. I was working with, I'm wondering what the end tally for the Ryan Vacation Tracker was. The subreddit user stopped doing it. So here's my pointless question. Ryan, how many vacations did you end up taking in 2024? See you at the stateside soon, Coach B in Zurich.
It's a great question. How many vacation days would you estimate you took in 2024?
It's really hard to, because I don't remember
what
I did.
All right, I'm going to set it at the my father, Donald Woods, U.S. postal worker vacation date tracker, which was he got 6 weeks of vacation.
Wow.
At his maximum. Were you over?
That's pretty good. No, I would be under that. Like,
there's no way you're way under that.
I try to do a lot of fun stuff. I've been going to like a new country like every year.
Yeah.
So I try that.
You went to Thailand twice last year?
No, I went to Thailand once. I've only been once.
Southeast Asia, Philippines?
I went to Tokyo.
Didn't you go to?
I went to the Philippines like the year before.
Okay.
I think maybe 2 years in a row. And I went to Hong Kong for the first time. And I went to Singapore for the first time. And then before that, Greece. I'd never been there. So I think those are like the new countries I've been to in the last 4 years. Little weekend things, but yeah,
beautiful.
I'll try to track some more. I'll try to keep track, Coach B. But I think David's going on a lot of vacations now too. So
I think I'm at a total of 10 days this year.
Nice.
Yeah, magical.
Cool.
Okay. This is _California from the POC suggestion. Hi, Ryan and Dave. I'm a fan of the POC. Since college football has changed, the Big Ten is the best conference for USC and UCLA to be in, but I do have a soft spot for the old Pac-12. I listened to the last POC podcast, and I noticed the offseason, but it seems like the POC is fading. The roots of the POC is the Pac-12, but those days are over. There's no point for you two to cover the Big Ten, since many of us don't care about Rutgers, Northwestern, etc. I'd like to offer my 2 cents for a revival.
Mm.
Obviously cover USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon and their opponents that week. You can poke fun at the Stanford versus Cal game, same with Utah versus Colorado and Arizona versus ASU. The Washington State versus UW and the Oregon versus Oregon State games would be a fun bit. Thanks for your consideration. Best.
Thanks, Best. No, is it Best Southern California?
I already said his name.
Oh. You said Best. That sounded like it was his name.
_California from the P. Who are you, Anchorman?
You're the one reading. You made it sound like his name was Best. This is not.
I didn't. I didn't.
I play the tape.
Goomba.
Yeah, we're still figuring it out. I think it's going to be probably like a West Coast centric version, which it's pretty much what it's been, of the Big Ten. But I think just going through, we can't go through previewing 16 games and recapping 16. Like, we just can't do that. So it'll be more of an overview. You know, if there's some, if Indiana's playing Austin Peay, sorry. You know, we, if you played Virginia, we might have talked about it, but we're probably not going to talk about, you know, smoking Austin Peay. I think that's how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a, Doug. Sorry. Like a, petite is about height and weight. Sorry, Dave. You can't call yourself petite.
No. No. It's a height thing. Yes, some women's clothing, when they say it's petite, it means it's height. And then because most women who are short are also, like, you know, they've got shorter limbs and a few other things. But no, it's height. It's height.
Okay.
It's height. Doug, it's height. Don't correct me again.
Matthew says West Coast bias, sad. Okay, so Matthew, because you're and you're a fan of like 20 teams, so we
I want to say Matthew is it Minnesota? I want to say it's Minnesota.
Wisconsin.
Or is it Wisconsin?
But he went, I think there's like Oklahoma.
See, this
there's
is where it's hard because one's an M, one's a W. They're inverted. We can't have that either.
Get rid of left.
Yeah.
There's like Abraham Simpson, like, was writing, like an early Simpsons, he was writing, like, his, like, dear Mr. President, there are too many states. Please eliminate three or something like that. Yeah. Just like random, like, what? Matthew, because you're such a great viewer and listener, we will talk about whatever teams you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
He says only two teams. I think it's Wisconsin, Oklahoma. I got it right. Boom.
Look at you.
I did. I nailed that. That's pretty good. Let's see.
How does it feel to be a fan of teams that have general success?
That's good. Oh, we got an international question. Tom in the Cayman Islands, farewell. Hi, Ryan and David. I just want to say I appreciate the podcast and hope that you two collaborate in the future, as the show is very entertaining. With that said, I can completely understand why the show is too much of a burden. Nothing against the teams, but pretending to care about Rutgers, Minnesota, Illinois, etc., feels so forced. Yes, or yeah. Sure, the handful of interesting games each year with the big names is headline grabbing, but the rest of it feels like such a slog. Hopefully, if the Big Ten takes Stanford and Cal, there can be a West Coast pod, and you guys can have a show of just those six teams. I don't know. This is all very lame. It has my interest in college football waning. Regardless, really enjoy the show and hope you guys continue on with something in the future. Fight on, Tom, in the Cayman Islands.
That was a very sweet email.
It was very sweet. And but the point about his interest in college football is waning, I don't think he's alone. I know viewership is up, like ratings are up, but I think some of the diehards with NIL, transfer portal, realignment, there's a lot of things that have changed the sport. And I think some people have kind of checked out. I don't know if you've experienced that too.
Yeah, I'm not as interested. And I cover it. And it's my job to be interested in it at some level. It's my job to drum up other people's interest in it. And I, like, last season was like the least enthused I've been for college football Saturdays in a long time.
Yeah.
And some of that was the demands of this show. But a big part of it is it's not the same thing. Like, it's not the same thing I grew up watching and enjoying and consuming and getting really, really into. And you know, it's a very, very different beast, and it's not, I don't know. This is, eye of the beholder stuff, but like, not as good. Just, it isn't as enjoyable. Tough one, tough situation.
We have one email left. It's your turn, but I think Andrew tweeted at us and we started to get some juices flowing, and then, I think Danny tweeted at us and then sent this email, and it's pretty.
We got one that was AI history. What's that?
I deleted that. I don't know. I don't.
Oh, think is that not a real thing?
I don't think it was real.
Okay.
If it was, I apologize.
No, I have no idea what it is.
I deleted it.
All right. Do you want me to read this thing?
Yeah, but I'm just real quick looking at it.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one to look at.
It's a tough one, and this is. I'm going to go back to 100. Holy crap, that's worse. Like, so. 110 zoom.
These are two heavy blocks of text that Danny has sent us. All right. So this is from Danny. Latest episode and future of the podcast. Hi, guys. I am proud to say that I have listened to every one of your episodes and began listening when Ryan shared on the Peristyle podcast about starting the podcast of champions. Been here since day one. This is important to preface as I've been listening to you both for years, and as one might imagine, I was super confused to hear in your last episode that you were considering stopping. The real shocker was you both discussed not being prepared enough or providing sufficient coverage and news across all these teams, so on and so forth, and how it just wouldn't feel right to not find joy and not providing a good enough product. Good Lord, guys, we listen, God only knows why, to this podcast for those exact reasons. We do not come here for deep analysis or coverage. We got elsewhere for that. We come here for the surfacey quick news updates and to hear your quick takes on these teams on a weekly basis in a fun way. We love that you guys aren't homers, and we appreciate the honest and candid banter that you both offer, even at the expense of USC and UCLA. We come here for talks about Disney princesses, Star Wars lore, Civil War general discussions, to rank what coaches would win in a fight, etc. For heaven's sake, you all are talking about not meeting a standard when I listen to both of you for hours upon hours talk about things like masturbation etiquette, see the Mel Tucker episode, hypothetical scenarios of time it would take to sail to Washington for a Huskies game, and a debate on how fast-forwarding time travel in Star Wars shrunk space and took away from the ethos of the films. All of a sudden, you all think I'm going to be upset and not tune in because you're not providing sufficient coverage of the Iowa Hawkeyes? Get the F out of here. The reason I tune in is because I love you both and the podcast for all the things listed above. I don't recall a damn thing about your analysis of teams over the years, but I sure as hell can recall your princess takes, making fun of noodle-armed Jake Browning, Dave's love for Grant and his Civil War efforts and Carhartt shirts, Ryan's volleyball Hollywood stardom on the CW's All-American, the history of El Segundo you all provided that one episode, and so much more. Boys, don't shut the podcast down. We are faithful to and love the podcast because of its uniqueness and the chemistry you both have, and the very fact of not taking yourselves or this endeavor of love too seriously. Don't start doing that now. Whatever you were able to bring to the table, know we will be here for it. Even if you don't, just know that many of us who have been here from the start will love this podcast for the reasons above and for what you both bring to it, and not so much for the football takes. I love the community that listens and engages with you all on a weekly basis, and that's what makes it enjoyable and worth it. I just wanted you all to know that you're both appreciated, and it is a joy to tune in weekly to listen to you both. Definitely been a highlight of my weeks for years, and so it was a bummer to hear the possibility of not having that. As the POCers always tell you both, keep it mediocre. That's exactly why we love you, and that's all we are asking for, boys. Fight on, Danny.
I don't know about you, David.
Now I'm inspired.
I'm fired up.
I'm inspired to continue now.
Let's do three shows a week. Let's do it. No.
Seven shows a week, baby. No breaks. No days off.
We got to review the Superman movie now. I didn't watch it.
I saw it last night.
I know. I saw it. You said it was good.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
I saw a lot of bad reviews for it.
It's another one of those things that I think is going to fall into the insane polarization of our times, where it's going to be, you know, I don't know. I can't get into the like pop culture part of it because it's all crazy to me.
Didn't
but,
like the director come out and make so, some political stuff, so then so it's going to piss DC, off half the people.
I'm going to try to give an overview as not being steeped in it. But the DC universe with Zack Snyder at the helm, that was like the grimdark Superman movie, the grimdark Batman movies.
I'm not a big superhero.
All that
person.
Shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, Griffin. And there were aficionados of that. Who I think largely, but not entirely, are like women haters in a lot of ways. And they're like against the like woke, meaning woke. If there's like a black person or a woman in a leading role, that's woke. So I think they were really big aficionados of these movies, these Zack Snyder films. And so then when Zack Snyder was no longer the head of this DC universe and they put James Gunn, who's been on the Marvel side of things and creating woke movies like the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, I think they were predisposed to dislike it. And then the movie itself is like kind of happy, happy, joy, joy, and like, you know, kind of silly and sincere in these kind of like earnest ways, and all this other kind of goofy stuff goes on. I think it just like it's oppositional to their sensibilities. And so I think that's what's going on here. I don't know. The movie was totally fine. I think there was some tonal stuff with that silliness because they were trying to balance silliness and sincerity. Like they had these sincere scenes that were supposed to be moving, and then it was a lot of silliness.
Gotcha.
And I don't think they nailed the sincere stuff very well. I think they really hammered and nailed the like silly tone of the movie, because they were trying to go for, I think, like, it's a comic book movie. It's supposed to be kind of goofy. Like, there's goofy stuff happening. I don't think they quite mastered the tonal shifts, but there were two really awesome needle drop songs in it they used, which kind of made the movie for me all by themselves. But yeah, it was fine. It was totally fine. It was a stupid superhero movie.
Okay. I saw, like, Kirk Herbstreit retweeted some guy that just went off on it, and he said, like, I don't want to see Superman get beat up the whole time. So apparently he just gets beat up the whole time.
Yeah, he gets his ass
kicked. He's supposed to be Superman.
No, but, like, I like that. It's kind of a send-up of, like, impervious Superman stuff. And honestly, like, Superman does get his ass kicked a lot in the old movies.
But this was, like, the whole thing. He said, there's a dog and all this stuff, and there's people that were saying,
yeah, so that's the part. There was a lot of stuff that was very comic booky that I wasn't even, like, I'm not a comic guy at all. Like,
yeah.
I don't know any of this stuff. Like, there's a dog. Supergirl's in it. And then there's, like, these other, like, I know Green Lantern, like, I'm familiar with that character, but then there's, like, Mr. Terrific, and I think the other one is, like, Hawk Girl or something. Hawk Girl. And it's ridiculous, but it's also fine. And Superman has, like, robot helpers. I mean, I think it's one thing, like, I watched that Francesa thing. I watched, like, the first 3 minutes of it. He actually knows a lot about Superman. Like, he was, like, talking about it, and he's like, I don't want Superman with robots. And I'm like, I wasn't even aware Superman couldn't have robots. Why can't Superman have robots?
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing from, like, probably a later comic that, you know, Mike Francesa probably isn't still getting comics here at whatever advanced age he is. So, I don't know. The movie was fine. Like, I think if you're not, like, steeped in the lore and have, like, you know, significant feelings one way or the other about, like, what a Superman movie should be, I think it's good. And it's like, my idea of Superman as a character is it's not supposed to be grimdark. Like, he's supposed to be a happy guy who's trying to do, like, good things. And he's supposed to be, like, essentially a paragon of virtue, perfect, all this kind of stuff. And they play that up in, like, kind of corny and poking fun at him ways, but they play it up as, like, that's the basis of the character. He's not supposed to be Super Batman, which is, I think, what was happening in those Man of Steel or the Man of Steel movie.
Gotcha. My nieces were out here visiting from Massachusetts, and I took them to the WB lot. So if you've done that for a while, get the tour, which is fun. But they were hyping up because Superman was coming out that week, so they were hyping it up. I don't know, like, the Marvel versus DC thing, but the WB, that's all the DC stuff. So they were they have, like, Aquaman and Wonder Woman, all that kind of stuff over there. But it's funny, I like Rick and Morty, and, like, the episode from, like, 2 weeks ago. There's a new season right now. And, like, James Gunn is in it, and they go, like, there's some, you know, the ninth installment of some movie that they hate, and they go to Rick and Morty, go to Hollywood and steal the new script from James Gunn, and they redo it, and there's a whole big thing on it. But it was kind of funny to see, like, they're on the WB lot for it and everything. But
I would see this Superman movie. I'm trying to think, but I would 100% see this with my kids. Like, it would,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's and I wouldn't with friggin' Man of Steel. Like, that thing was, and I think there's, like, probably, I don't know, 8 more curse words in this movie than there was in that movie. But, like, that one is, like, I don't know, it's a little kind of frightening and dark and not very pleasant.
I feel like there's so many of these that I didn't read the comics. I haven't, like, I didn't want to watch some Marvel movie that the whatever.
I've kind of given up on the Marvel movies.
There's just too many.
Well, they're too many, and, like, the last couple I watched were pretty bad.
Okay. But DC's fine. I don't know. But this was, like, a spinoff from Danny's email. We appreciate you, Danny. Thank you. You've inspired us. We just talked about some movie for a bit. We also have another super chat.
Also from Matthew.
Yeah.
What a king.
Well, nothing is perfect. David, I'd say CBB is more dissimilar to its former self than CFB.
I would say so, too. But I think it depends on what your former self is. And also, college basketball's decline has been over a longer time horizon. Like, college basketball has been, depending on who you ask, it's been a decline since the 1960s, if you ask Adolf Rupp. But if you ask anybody, you know, in the modern era, it's been a decline probably since one and done became a serious thing, or since.
But the postseason has still been good, really good.
I wouldn't say it's good. It's a draw. It's always going to be a draw because it's fun. But I don't know that it's.
I don't know if it's always going to be a draw if they get rid of, like, the Cinderella stuff.
Yeah.
They might ruin that.
Yeah, they may.
But that's what's not been ruined.
Correct. But I think college basketball as like a sport that is a developmental league where guys are like staying in school for a long time, like that's kind of gone by the wayside.
But the they're staying portal. A little more now because of NIL. So that's
to some extent, but some schools are losing them to the transfer portal to get more NIL.
That's true.
Yeah.
A couple more questions from the YouTube chat. Lizard King, what happened to the SEC versus Big Ten out of conference games? That was going to happen if they did the automatic qualifiers. But, that was my understanding. There was going to be an agreement.
Yeah, there's no agreement on that anymore.
And then one last one from Johnny. Let's pull this up here. David and Ryan, as leading Big Ten experts, this was after the Danny email. Who do you expect? Who do you think in Purdue's second unit of the wide receiver room can break through as a potential impact guy? This is why they come to us.
Mm.
That one dude, yeah, he's pretty good.
Nitro Tuggle went to Purdue? Is that right? Am I crazy?
Did someone put that in there?
Is he at Purdue? When did that happen?
Transfers, baby.
Okay, I just want to learn more about this now. Nitro Tuggle, he'll be their, I don't know, best or third or whatever. He'll be one of their receivers. Nitro Tuggle, little another side story. So I played the game College Football 25 a lot last year.
Okay.
I hadn't played a video game for any considerable length of time in a long time, but I played that one a lot. Nitro Tuggle played for Georgia in that game. Nitro Tuggle caused me unspeakable mental distress on several occasions for catching the most ridiculous jump balls on this absolutely ridiculously custom stemmed slot fade, where I would have cover four where two defenders were on him. I would have cover two man where two defenders were on him. I would have prevent defense out there. Finally, I had to cover it, Ryan, with my linebacker sprinting back from the line of scrimmage immediately after the snap and running 60 yards downfield to the spot where I knew the ball was going to go and then pick it off because of this guy. He hasn't been good in college, but God damn, is he good in that game.
Nice. The new game's out.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Do you have to get the new one or can you, the old one, can you get updated rosters?
No, you can't get updated rosters. So it's, you have to get the new one.
Oh, okay.
And it's not good. Not a good game. They made it worse.
Wait, how did they make it worse?
Everything's slower. It's not as arcadey. It's like they tried to make a simulation football game, but what that actually ends up looking like is a bunch of scripted events that it's not fun. Hmm. Not a fun game.
Okay. Well, that's our show. I assume within the next couple of months, we're going to do another show.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, within the next couple.
Let's do one next week.
We're going to do one next week at Media Days.
I will have to lug equipment to Las Vegas to do this.
That's right, baby.
But I will do it because we love you guys and we love Danny's email. That was awesome. We appreciate that. And we, you know, people love the show. It's awesome. Like I don't know why, but people do love it. And we love our listeners. It's just so many funny listeners. The voicemail was great. So many good stuff. So we want to keep doing it. It was just going to be a little much to try to do everything we were doing like before. So we'll do once a week. We'll have some fun with it. We'll give you like the Big Ten news and our takes on all that stuff, games and things, and unless we change our minds. But yeah, I think that's a plan going forward. Does that sound like a plan, David?
That sounds like a plan from the master man.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for David Woods. I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.